Mentioned the title of my sermon today is "Are You Really Free?" So I have now got a commute to work, so I drive. It takes me about an hour. So I've been enjoying some audiobooks as I listen to and from, and I burn through quite a bit, but it helps me to at least be entertained and sometimes learn a few things. One of the recent books that I've listened to is Huckleberry Finn. I've tried to pick out a lot of books that I've always wanted to read and never actually spent time to do. And as some of you know, Huckleberry Finn is set in the time of pre-Civil War, antebellum South. And Huckleberry Finn is a boy, maybe preteen or so, who runs away from home to escape an abusive and alcoholic father, being his only parent, surviving parent. And he begins his journey floating down the Mississippi River, not knowing exactly where he would be going, but knowing that he enjoyed it much better than he enjoyed life at home. Along the way, he meets up with another runaway named Jim. Jim's situation is similar but vastly different than Huck Finn's. Jim is a runaway slave. Now, listening to this story, it struck me how overshadowed the life of a slave is with doom. Even though Jim was on the move and no longer under the day-to-day activities of slavery, he was still under that cloud of being a slave. He decided to run away because he was afraid of his master selling him down the river to slave traders in the Deep South, and that is something he dreaded. And on his journey, he could only travel by night so that those on the lookout for runaway slaves like him would not detect him. And he carried that burden of being subject to the will of others, even though nobody was immediately looming over him. Jim's life was literally the property of someone else. His decisions were not his own to make under that bondage of slavery. His future was in the hands of another, and it makes one think, in such a situation, what would the purpose of life be in those circumstances if you could not have agency over your own life? To lack freedom, as in the bondage of slavery, is extremely disheartening. The kind of freedom that I want to talk today is about the big kind of freedom. I'll explain what I mean by that. I want to talk about what it means to be free. This is different than the freedom we have day to day to make choices. Everybody has that. Having the freedom to choose what breakfast cereal you want to eat is just the ability to choose an action. There's not much to it. Everyone has that freedom. Even slaves, if you really think about it. Jim had the freedom to choose to run away, and he did it. He knew that there would be consequences, of course. Just as we know that there are consequences to the choices that we make. But this freedom expressed by the choices is not the way we explain being free. That's not the big freedom. Being free is about having agency over our own destiny. Real freedom gives you control to guide your life and the direction of the future in the way that you want. A slave does not have that type of freedom. But the one who is free can execute the plans of their heart to have agency over their destiny. Of course, that freedom doesn't come with a paved road. We may choose what we want to fulfill in our future, but we still encounter obstacles, but we have enough agency to overcome them. We have that ability for ourselves. Freedom allows us to fulfill the purpose of our lives. That's what freedom is. So the question is, are you really free? Do you have agency over the course of your future? Or is there something that prevents you, that you may or may not know about, that's in the way, preventing you from fulfilling that destiny? Are you adding a burden to your life that closes out the opportunity for your future that you desire? So again, are you really free? Are you free to fulfill the true purpose of your life? It is worth taking the time to consider this question, and we'll get into it, to see if we have placed burdens on our life that cut off the future that we want. So today, we will talk about what that ultimate fulfillment of your life is, and whether you are free to obtain it. Let's take a look at Romans 8, and I'll read verses 12 through 17 to set the stage for what your future consists of. This is what you have as an opportunity. Romans 8 and verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, or rather, sonship, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. This is the purpose that I'm talking about. To be children of God, that is the fulfillment of our life. To be glorified children, living eternally in the family of God, that is the future that we have when we are free. To be in the kingdom of God as glorified members is what we are living and working towards. That is set out there for us if we have freedom to obtain it. When we are told to seek first the kingdom of God, it means to always be looking forward to that end. To have that be our driver, our North Star, the thing that guides us through all of our troubles and difficulties, that helps us to get over the obstacles that are in our way. This passage I just read in Romans 8 begins to expose what we must do to fulfill that purpose. Living according to the flesh leads towards death. And that is the opposite direction that we need to go. Living according to the flesh is in bondage of fear of that death. And what we will find is that living according to the Spirit, that is what gives us the freedom to fulfill our life's purpose. Still in Romans 8, let's go back to verses 1 and 2. And read what Paul writes there, Romans 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It is sin that closes off the opportunity for us to fulfill our purpose in becoming glorified members in God's family. The inevitable end result of sin is death. That's what the lack of freedom leads to. If we bind ourselves to sin, We rescind our freedom to have agency over our destiny to have eternal life. The only way to break free from this bondage is to turn to Jesus Christ and walk our lives according to the Spirit. And this means two things. First, we turn away from sin. We know that sin, as we will elaborate, is what keeps us in bondage. That eliminates the freedom that we have to fulfill our destiny. So we need to turn away from sin, to love righteousness, and to live by it. This also means, if we are to break free from bondage, that we are not to rely on our own righteousness to find salvation, but rather we rely on Jesus Christ to fulfill that righteous requirement. So those two things, we turn away from sin, and second, we rely on Jesus Christ to give us the freedom that we need to obtain eternal life. So then to be free from the law of sin and death means to break free from the penalty of sin, which is death. To be free to fulfill our destiny requires living according to the Spirit, not to the flesh. Let's turn over to John 8 and verses and read verses 31 through 35. I'm sure you were anticipating that we might read this passage today. John 8 and verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." The truth that Jesus Christ is talking about here is that he makes it possible for us to be free, free from that law of sin and death. He removed the obstacle of bondage that set the course of our life down a path to destruction, to doom. He paid the price for our freedom. And he did that by removing the penalty of sin. To be a slave of sin, that cuts off the possibility to the future that we desire for ourselves, and that God desires for us too. So let's talk about the bondage of sin and to what it means to overcome that. Going back to Romans chapter 6, I'll read verses 3 through 7. Romans 6 and verse 3. "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin." Our baptism marks a commitment to put to death the ways of sin, to turn away from that way of life, to repent, and to live instead according to the Spirit. We become, at that moment of our baptism, begotten members of God's family. It opens up the opportunity for that great fulfillment of our destiny. This is our demarcation point of breaking free from the bondage of sin that cuts off us from the future that is so glorious and lays out in front of us. Jesus Christ frees us from sin. He breaks the bond of slavery to sin, which only ends in death. And so we must not return to slavery after we have been liberated. Some will try to deceive people into believing that the way of sin is free. But that is not true. Let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2, and I'd like to read verses 18 through 22. Second Peter 2 and verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. When they promise liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they again are entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But as it happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Some will say that once we have accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that we have the freedom to not have to obey anymore. Now, we've been forgiven and we can go on living the way of sin. That's what is, I think we can apply, would be said here. That is a false liberty. That is not freedom. We remember that obeying the law is practicing righteousness. That is a way of turning away from sin. The law is spiritual. And therefore, to keep the law, to practice that way of life, is our means of walking in the Spirit. Anyone claiming liberty from the law of God and returning to sin returns to slavery unknowingly and gives up the freedom that they have been given through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid the price for our freedom once, and he cannot pay for it again if we give it up willingly and return to slavery, going back to that way of life. We shut ourselves off from the great future if we return to sin. When we answer the question for ourselves about whether we are really free, we need to examine for ourselves if we have turned back to sin in big ways or small ways, ways that we might be rounding the edges a little bit, saying, it's okay to do this or that. I can just go and repent, as we heard in Mr. Bruno's split sermon. We need to be overcoming continually. We have the gift of repentance, but if we refuse to overcome sin, we still remain in bondage to it. We are not free. Turning to Galatians 5, reading verses 1 through 6, we can read a little bit more about how Jesus Christ gives us freedom. Galatians 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. We cannot become righteous through our deeds. And here, in the context of what's described in Galatians here, there was a group that was pushing for circumcision as being necessary. But that is contrary to what Jesus Christ had made possible through his sacrifice. If we deny the grace made available through him, we cut ourselves off from the future that he makes possible. We don't go back to trying to fulfill the righteous requirements of the law physically. It's not possible. And if we try, we are not free. We cannot earn our own salvation through physical works. We rely on the grace made possible through Jesus Christ to do that. It's a gift for us. Going to Galatians 2, reading verses 1 through 5. Galatians 2 and verse 1. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run and had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of the false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. As we just talked about from Galatians 5, this issue of circumcision was a big deal in the early Christian church. They were trying to figure out how to overcome. They were trying to be zealous, but in this example here, the Jews were requiring this as something that was necessary. But it was a mere physical act, is what Paul brings out here. It has no bearing. That physical act, that physical thing, bears no impact on salvation. Paul mentions that requiring physical circumcision is effectively bringing them back into bondage. To futilely try to earn salvation through physical works, which again is impossible. That bondage of requiring works to earn salvation, it cuts off the opportunity to actually receive salvation as a gift. It is a rejection, if you will, of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This requirement, as the Jews were pushing for here, for physical circumcision, was quite literally living according to the flesh, which they are to come out of. Living by the Spirit, as we opened up with, is the way to be free from the bondage that prevents us from fulfilling our purpose. Going back to Galatians 5, reading verses 13 through 15. Galatians 5 and verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to glory. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love the neighbor, your neighbor, as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Paul emphasizes that God calls us to true liberty. True liberty. That is what frees us from the unnecessary burdens of ritual traditions and customs. True liberty opens up the future that the bondage of sin makes impossible. He makes it clear that our freedom does not give us a license to sin, though. Again, we are to be overcoming sin, to repent, to love this way of life, and to practice it. If we think we have a license to sin, it just brings us back to bondage. And that removes that freedom that we desire for ourselves. So, reiterating then, there are two things that we do to obtain freedom. We turn to righteousness, removing sin from our lives, and we rely on the gift of salvation of Jesus Christ that gives us the opportunity to live eternally. So as we come out of the bondage of sin, what do? We replace it with a commitment to righteousness. We become, as the Bible tells us, slaves of righteousness. Going to Romans 6, reading verses 15 through 23, we can see what Paul writes about as he elaborates on this concept of being a slave of righteousness. Romans 6 and verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? He means the penalty of the law. Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked then that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness, and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For you, when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. And the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. One might point to this and say, look, you're still not free. You're slaves to God. Well, that is the wrong conclusion to make. Being free allows us to fulfill our purpose. And our purpose is to be in the family of God. That is our desire. It is no burden to serve God because it is the way of life that we follow that helps us fulfill that calling. It is something we love and desire. We choose the way of righteousness because it opens up the opportunity for us to attain the future we want. It is no burden for us to live according to righteousness because it gives us joy inherently in living a godly life, but also knowing that it leads to a glorious outcome that boggles the mind. We have freedom to achieve our purpose because we commit our way to righteousness. We follow Christ's example, and we claim his righteous sacrifice as our way to salvation. James 1, verse 25, if you'll turn there with me. James 1 and verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. The law of liberty implies that living according to it living according to the law. It brings freedom. That is not bondage. When we do the work of the law, it shows that we desire to obey God, to follow Him. It shows that we are turning away from sin. It shows that we honor the sacrifice of Jesus Christ by living in His example. The law of God gives us freedom. Being slaves to God gives us freedom. The freedom that we want, that opens up the opportunity for our future that we desire. Turn a couple pages over to 1 Peter 2 and verse 16. It's very important to remember this, brethren, as Peter writes, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Peter instructs us not to misinterpret that our freedom gives us a license to sin, but rather we are to serve God through obedience. It connects some very important concepts. We are coming out of sin, and doing that involves putting on righteousness, becoming slaves to God, and serving Him in that. From the very beginning, God wanted His people to be free. And it began with the freedom from slavery in Egypt. And I'll have you turn back to Exodus chapter 6, and I'll read verses 2 through 8, where we can pick up some important symbology here, a pattern, a type of coming out of slavery. Exodus 6 and verse 2. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage in which they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. Though this speaks of the release of the bondage from physical slavery in Egypt, there is spiritual meaning. Egypt, we understand, represents a physical life, the way of sin, from which there is no way to lead to the future that we desire. God provides the way of freedom from that bondage. Just as God released Israel from slavery physically and led them into the promised land, He also releases us from spiritual slavery that prevents us from entering the promise of His kingdom, to be in His family. He gave freedom to Israel so that they could thrive on the earth. He gives us freedom so that we can be members in His family. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The liberty that we have, which is brought out here, brings us out of sin. It allows us to have a glorious future that he calls us to. The liberty from sin that we have through Christ, it transforms us to glory. And we are being transformed in our conversion today. Towards that end, we are being perfected. It will end with that great result. In Galatians 4, verses 1 through 7. Galatians 4 and verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons, or better, sonship. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Before we were baptized, we may not even realize that we weren't free. The bondage under sin, it cuts us off from the future. And Jesus Christ paid the price for our freedom. When we become baptized, we accept that fact and we commit our lives to live by it. Jesus Christ gives us liberty to obtain the future, to become sons and daughters in the family of God. When we ask ourselves if we are really free, we need to carefully consider whether we are unwittingly cutting ourselves off from the liberty made available through Christ. Are we deceiving ourselves into feeling free, but rejecting the requirement for us in having that freedom? If we believe that keeping the law is a burden rather than loving the way of obedience to God, it should be a warning sign to us. When we believe that keeping the law and obeying God is a delight to serve him through obedience, we accept the freedom to the future that he makes available to us. Living that way shows our commitment to be free from the bondage of sin that limits our potential. It is impossible for us to obtain that future through our own deeds. Jesus Christ makes it possible for us to be free. Knowing then that we have true freedom, that we really are free, let's all take hold of that to be empowered and to fulfill our destiny.